podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening. It's Late Tackle with myself, Mark, and Mr. Andy North. Good evening, Andy North. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, mate. I was trying to work out the last time we've done a Late Tackle. It feels like it's been a while.
I think it has been a while. It must be 3 or 4 weeks ago because we tried to do one, don't you remember? And my internet connection failed and we had to abandon it. Do you remember that? And
That's right. Yeah.
I'm really nervous about tonight's internet connection.
What the hell has happened for us to get to this point where we've got Chris Wood as our thumbnail picture?
I know. And I haven't even gone into FBL mode. I haven't mentioned that joke or used any kind of reference to that in relation to Chris Wood. There'll be no Wood jokes on this show.
Or Late Tackle jokes, yeah.
No.
There's so many euphemisms in this stream.
Oh my God. They've been all over the net over the last few, all over the Twitter community in the last few days when Chris Wood became a prospect. Yeah. I mentioned it to you. I even had a DM off Praz today, erstwhile Praz, who is a legend of the community, of course, and asking about my advice on Chris Wood as a Forest fan. That's how serious it's getting. That's how serious the interest in the New Zealand striker is. But you're a naysayer when it comes to Wood, aren't you?
Oh, big time. I don't see the point. I don't see the point in spending more money on a third striker when you're going to be playing five midfielders every week.
Right. So yeah.
I'm looking over the Christmas period and just looking at five midfielders and every week I'm wanting all five of them and just thinking, don't want a third striker really. So I'm just going to be paying 4.5. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about him. I think his data is quite good. Well, I might bring up the data in a bit and we'll show it. Just first of all, hello in chat. We've got the usual Andy Max in the house, Nigel the Crab. What a day. I'm so glad FFBL right now. It is back. We forgot to say that. It's back tomorrow, Andy. It's back tomorrow.
Finally. It's been nice to have a break, but it's good to have it back.
Absolutely. Delio in the chat. Thank you, Delio, for your moderation as always. FBL Rank Chaser, Joe Bob, SEO FBL, Mahomi, Dave, Omar, Colonel Custard, FBL Learn. Thank you for everyone joining us. Ryan's just dropped in as well. Everyone join us on this Friday night. We love this Friday night slot and I'm glad to be back. Rockstar in the chat as well. Any early team moves, Rockstar? Of course. We've got the 12:30 kickoff with Man City Liverpool. I guess we're expecting a leak, aren't we, for that?
You'd have thought so. Although it'd be interesting to see, the biggest leak would be if Haaland isn't there.
Oh, can you imagine?
That would be interesting, especially because a lot of people have used their transfers as well. I'm just saying, Rocky's in the chat. There must be a reason why he's in the chat.
No, I'm joking. No, I think that. There will be a lot of people hanging on to see what that team news is, and it's kind of we expect it now, don't we? It's not just like will we get it? It's definitely we're going to get something, aren't we?
Yeah, big time. You think it'd be interesting to see, especially those engaged managers, how those transfers over the years have started slipping towards right up till deadline because of obviously leaks have really started now as well.
But
moved the deadline back a half hour and it's made no difference whatsoever, has it?
Oh, it's definitely a thing now where, like I say, we kind of expect, just putting some more light on the subject, we kind of expect to get them. Like it's not an if. So I think now the proportion of managers who leave their transfer to the last minute must have skyrocketed, right?
Yeah, I'd have thought so. Flappy always takes the mickey out of me because I used to be somebody that would go sometimes midweek and I would do it for price changes, whatever it is. I cannot remember the last time I made a transfer that wasn't either the night before deadline or the day of deadline. I just don't do it anymore.
No. I haven't made my transfer yet. We'll talk about that later. That isn't because of the leaks. It's just because, you just never know now. You just never know what you might get. It used to be like 10:30 on a Friday with the embargo team news and I'd probably wait till that. But unless there's a price rise that I need to catch, I don't make them early now. I'm less inclined to make changes for the price rises now. Game week 12, I think at this stage in the season, the price is tend to slow down a bit more. Yeah. And my desire to kind of like check the price rises every night isn't there as it was earlier. So I think I will join that the ranks of those making late changes. So yeah, we'll see. It's going to mean the spike in the server activity and probably the site will go down with 5 minutes to go and all that kind of jazz, won't it? So
what a game to start us off this week, though.
I know, it's absolutely
biggest
cracking,
game of the week, pretty much. Yeah.
Are you, a bit of a spoiler, are you going to have a captain in that game?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on Haaland. I've been on Haaland all week and I don't think I'm moving off it. I see him getting a goal at least. And I think it's such a tough week for captaincy. The only one that's kind of crept into my thoughts a little bit is Son. And that's because of Villa away and Villa's kind of line that they play as well. I was a little bit tempted, but I'm also just quite happy owning Son, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, Rockstar.
So I think Haaland's the pick this week.
Son captain for him. I'm going Son as well, as we'll see when we get to my team. Let's talk about Bowen, because he's been the subject of a lot of attention this week. He was the most transferred in, right? Am I right in saying that before? Well, he has been the most transferred in this week.
Yeah.
And then we got news of the injury that saw him miss the England game being worse than we expected. We heard that he might have, was it fluid on the knee and could be out for several weeks. What's the latest today? Because I haven't caught all the team news, but what I've seen so far, having caught up, is that there's every possibility he does play, but it's not certain and Moyes is going to leave it late. Is that basically it?
Yeah, that's basically it. So he came out today and said, it's all looking fine, but he needs to go, you know, do the late fitness test, basically. There was also a clip of Kevin Nolan on Talk Sport. Was it Talk Sport or some kind of radio show saying he came back and he looks fine, basically. Right. It sounded like they were kind of being very, very cautious because, of course, Antonio could be is injured as well. And so they were thinking we need him back and we need to make sure that he's not, you know, going to hurt himself even more on international duty. So I would be quite surprised now if he doesn't play. I feel like he's up there with Saka in terms of if he's fit, he plays. You know, like Saka's like that with Arteta, isn't he? So I'd be surprised, but I understand people that have sold him, but I also feel like, yeah, that extra day when we get the kind of quote from Moyes saying, yeah, he's probably going to be okay. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I think I'm edging towards the fact he's going to start now.
Yeah. I having read the evidence and given that Antonio's out for 3 months as well.
Yeah.
I think they'll play him. So I think that, I mean, do you think there's anybody who transferred in Bowen for Maddison, got the news that he could be out, then transferred Bowen out for somebody else and now is regretting that? Don't say Matoma, because I know Matoma's definitely out.
Well, that was the other thing. I was expecting people to have gone Maddison to Matoma and then did Matoma to Bowen really quickly this week. And then obviously Bowen could have then been out. Would have been an absolute merry-go-round, but... it'd be interesting because obviously the big thing is, and I know this is the other thing that we're going to have to talk about as well, is Mbeumo. So a lot of people wanting to do that move from Bowen to Mbeumo, even if Bowen plays, like, is that the move? It feels just a week early for me if you've got that option to not move to him.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on Black Box. I'm the same. I do think that obviously the Brentford at home, their data is incredibly good. If we look at team data attack over the season, they're fifth in that, and I think they're second over the last 6 weeks, last six matches. So Brentford have got the attacking chops to score at home to Arsenal, even though Arsenal's defence being the top ranked defence at the moment. But it's not an ideal fixture to go to take in Bruno into, because a lot of us have got Arsenal defenders as well. Well, there's nothing terribly wrong with that, but yeah. It's not optimal, is it, to go in Bomo when you've got an Arsenal defender as well, unless you're banking on a set piece return. But I don't know. For me, it is a week early. For me, right now, sitting in, if I had Bowen, I'd hold him because I think he's going to start. And, you know, there was a few questions about, you know, do you move to Diaby to in Bomo early? I don't think you should, unless you have to have caught the rise, but that was last night, so you're not going to do that now. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him going to Bomo at home to Arsenal, because I think Brentford could easily get the goal and given his role and importance to that team, he could easily be involved, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's an interesting one with Arsenal, because Arsenal are top in terms of XGC this season. They have only conceded 3 goals away from home this season. And it is genuinely, I feel like, unless you were playing City, who, you know, I would say is still the best defence in the league, depending, even though the XGC says different. It is the hardest fixture to go into for Brentford. But if you don't want to be making any transfers to the rest of your midfielders, going in Mbeumo 1 week early, I think is still fine. Especially, you know, if he scores, then you've 100% made the right move there. But there are other players you could potentially move to if you also want to get Mbeumo next week as well. But I don't like the idea of going to a player for just 1 week and then moving off them to go to Mbeumo. I feel like that seems a little bit quick.
Yeah, well, a lot of questions coming in about Eze. Mads asked whether he should go Diaby to Eze, and Rake in FBL saying here Bowen to Eze. I like Eze. I think the fixtures are good. I think his underlying data early season kind of, or his returns early season, belied the level of underlying data we saw. Where do you stand on him? I mean, let's just bring the ticker up to have a look at.
Well, I'll be getting him this week. So I'm doing Gordon to Eze. So I was looking at it. So basically, I've got two free transfers and I want Saliba, Eze and Mbeumo over the next 2 weeks. And Eze's nice fixtures obviously start this week, so he's been my priority in because I think Saliba and Mbeumo can wait a week. So I want Eze in because I want Palmer by 16. So Eze for 3 weeks, then Palmer in 16 makes an awful lot of sense for me.
Yeah.
I like Eze for these 3 weeks. I don't think I like Eze if you're literally getting him for 1 week, but if you can keep him for those 3 weeks, I think it's a great move. Luton away, which could be, you know, great for him. Obviously, he's on penalties away as well. West Ham away, and we've seen that their XGC is ridiculous this season. And then Bournemouth at home. And then you've got that easy switch to Palmer. I think it's lovely. I've seen a lot of teams recently where they've already got, like, say, Palmer and Mbeumo, and it feels like they're set up, but it doesn't feel like they're then attacking the fixtures that are in front of them for the next week or so. Whereas I feel quite, in a weird way, blessed that I don't already have them, because I can jump on, say, an Eze and have three nice fixtures and then know I can get them when I want them. So, yeah, I like Eze. I think that's a great move. I do get what people are saying as well, though, where I've owned Zaha in the past and owning Zaha sounds like so much fun, and then you own him and it's not. But obviously, Eze with penalties, nice fixtures. He's got Elise back as well, which I think makes a massive difference. I like the move. I think for 3 weeks, if you can keep him for 3 weeks, I don't like him if you're getting him for a week, but for 3 weeks, I think it's nice.
Yeah, I envy you in that position. I think that does sound like a nice a combination of transfers, because, I mean, Palmer from 16 is just, I mean, if there's ever going to be a no-brainer, this is it. I mean, Chelsea will play Everton, Sheffield United, Wolves, Palace and Luton, as the ticker shows here. I think, I got picked up on this actually. Someone's saying, think is T-H-I-N-K, not F-I-N-K, by the way. So I must watch how I pronounce the word think. I think that five-match run that Chelsea have got from 16 is probably the best batch of five fixtures that any team has this season. Because I've looked across the ticker and I can't find a run as strong as that. I mean, Palace at home is tricky. Wolves away is tricky, I guess. But as a collection of fixtures, that's as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have Palmer, I think, if you haven't got him. But I don't think there's a rush to get him for Newcastle, Brighton, United, as you say. So Eze is perfect because you get Eze for Luton, West Ham and Bournemouth and then move to Palmer. I mean, you'll be paying a little bit more for Palmer by then. You'll probably pay 0.2, 0.3 more, but
yeah.
Does it matter?
I mean, I've said it from the beginning. People keep saying, oh, but obviously it'll cost a bit more. For a Chelsea attacker with those fixtures on penalties, he's worth 7.5 million. So to get him for the price I'm getting him, I'm still getting him for a bargain. And I feel like that's absolutely fine. And like you said, that kind of run of three from Eze to then move to Palmer seems really nice. It could not work. And it could be that Palmer gets three more penalties in the next three fixtures and I miss those as well. But it just on paper seems to be a good move.
Nigel the Crab has donated again. $4.99 super chat from Nigel. I've got to stop doing it. But he's saying, a little appreciation for the stream. I've gone triple Forest for the next two game weeks. I'd pick four Forest players if I could. Comments, Andy. The ticker is up and Forest are playing over this run. Brighton, Everton, Fulham, Wolves, Spurs, Bournemouth, Newcastle away, then United at home. So up until 18, arguably very good fixtures. Forest players? I mean, this leads us on to Wood, but, you know, let's not go there yet.
Well, funnily enough, I wasn't going to mention Wood, but I was going to ask you, as obviously the resident Forest fan, I've seen a few people looking to move off, for instance, Matty Cash. And I'm thinking it isn't maybe the week to move on to an Arsenal defender, although I would prioritise an Arsenal defender, maybe a Chelsea defender soon. But if you wanted to have that kind of bench player you know is going to play over the Christmas period and with Forest fixtures as well, who would be your Forest defender of choice to get in?
Well, it would be Toffolo, who is over the season 31st, 0.15 XGI, non-penalty per 90. Where is he over the last six? This is the last six. Does he actually appear in there?
He's 23rd.
There he is, 23rd, 0.15 again. So he's stayed pretty consistent. He has started the last four league games and he has done very well. I don't see him being dropped anytime soon. There is danger of rotation because Aurier can play right back and Aina can swap over to the left. So what I would say is game week 15, where we expect to see some rotation, and Forest in game week 15 will play Fulham away. So the problem there is like the Everton, Fulham and Wolves games come in quick succession. It's three in a week. I would imagine we will see some rotation for Forest. And in one position where we've got options is fullback, because we've got Nico Williams, we've got Aurier, we've got Aina, and we've got Toffolo. So we've got two sets of arguably first choice fullbacks there. I think Toffolo could miss the Fulham away game. So if he might not, because he's playing really well, and I personally wouldn't drop him, but if we need to rest players, he would be one lined up. If you're going Toffolo and you can carry him through 15 and play somebody else, I think it's a great option. I'm tempted as well because he's got a great left foot. He's got an end product. I think he'll be on some set pieces. He hasn't been to this point, but Gibbs White has been largely ineffective. I think he could start taking some set plays as well. Yeah. And he's got an end product. He's got three assists so far this season. The other thing is with Chris Wood playing, one thing I noticed when Chris Wood came in the team against Luton, his XGI in that game for Chris Wood was something like 1.7. It's one of the highest for any single player this season. So we gave Chris Wood a lot of chances. So I think Cooper is like, hey, look, we've got to get crosses in the box. Toffolo is the best crosser of the ball in our team. Yeah. Cooper has said this. So I actually think Cooper Wood playing is a good thing for Toffolo because I think actually he will put the ball into the box more often.
You're selling it to me. I hate it.
What am I selling to you? Toffolo or Wood?
I'm not sure. I remember Toffolo because was it at Huddersfield he was at, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
I remember he got double figure assists. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
He was good in Gaffer. And I can remember when you bought him and I thought, that's a good signing.
Yeah.
And he seemed to drop out of favour quite quickly, but he's picked up again this year, hasn't he?
He has, and he's not being found out defensively. He's been solid defensively. Mm. He was always our best fullback going forward for me. Yeah, like in terms of end product, I don't think we've got a better fullback at the club. Yeah. Aina's good, but he hasn't got that craft that Toffolo's got. Like his ability to cross a ball and his ability to just, the pace he puts on a cross is just excellent. And I think he's at 4-4. I think if you're going to back any Forest defender, he's the one.
There you go then. So the other question is, so that's your favourite Forest defender. Mm. But looking at it, if you've already got an Arsenal defender, you definitely don't want to double up this week with Brentford away.
Mm.
The other two teams I've been looking at a little bit in terms of you could get a cheaper defender and they've got some really nice home fixtures coming up is Fulham and Wolves, right? So if you wanted a cheap one, let's say Wolves' best defender would be what, Ait Nouri? Sometimes it's playing left
no
mid, left
question, Ait Nouri. Look, he's fourth in this table.
He's got four yellow cards.
He has
the only
got
thing
four yellow
say.
Cards, yeah.
Castagna, maybe, for Fulham?
I think Fulham
if you
were
had to rank
bet.
Them there.
Yeah.
Because I think Ait Nouri would be quite high up for me.
Right, okay. Well, let's look at Fulham. Fulham's fixtures are really strong. They've got four home games in the next six. And the four home games are Wolves, Forest, West Ham and Burnley.
Well, Wood will score in the Forest fixture, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there might be one, possibly two clean sheets there for Fulham. The issue is Tete is now fit. And I was listening to the Wolves-Fulham Clash of the Correspondents, the excellent series that Planet FBL do, and listened to the Fulham fan there. And he was saying, he basically confirmed what I thought. Tete coming back means that neither Castagna or Robinson are now nailed because Tete's the best right back at the club. Castagna's been playing well there and he will probably switch to take Robinson's place. But again, in game week 15, which is the Forest home game, surely Fulham will rotate there because they've got Liverpool 3 days before and West Ham 3 days after or 2 days after. So they likely will swap around there in order to rest some players in their team. So there's a chance that whatever Fulham fullback you go with, you're going to miss a game. So that's the problem. Otherwise, Castagne would be very tempting for me. So because of that, even with the four bookings, it's eight Norrie's upside is enormous, isn't it? Do you not think?
It seems, especially 15 and 16, Burnley at home, Forest at home. That does seem quite nice. And, his underlines look good. Like I said, if you look at his heat maps, they look very good as well. The four bookings is a little bit annoying because obviously you know he's going to get suspended the time you need him. But he does seem like a type of player. I remember owning him 2-3 years ago. I swear he's been in this game for ages. But I think he's quite a fun little shout, to be perfectly honest. I think if you're wanting to move off of someone like Cash and you've already got an Arsenal defender, or you want to wait a week and you want to make sure your bench is full of players that are going to play over this Christmas period because we're thinking we're going to have to, we're going to need a bench. I think 8 Norrie is a good shout. I do like the Toffolo shout as well, though.
Focal centre, some Fulham fans want Robinson dropped and Castagne could play. I was like, yeah, exactly. I do think there's a chance, and a good chance, Castagne will just switch. Mm-hmm. But it's game week 15 where all bets are off, really. Any team that have got rotation options, we could be in trouble with that. And that could see Toffolo or Castagne rested. It might not mean that. And equally, SMB raised a good point. Bueno, not a threat to 8 Norrie. Wolves have got two Buenos now. Santiago Bueno, I think, is the centre back.
And Kinder.
And the other Bueno, and I can't remember his Christian name, is a left back, and he is a threat to 8 Norrie. But the issue is that 8 Norrie's form has just been outstanding. I mean, I think he's been their best player. And certainly since Neto got injured, he's been fantastic for them. So yes, there is a rotation risk and there is the booking risk. But I think someone's saying in chat here, Andy is completely unaware that Mark has been driving the 8 Norrie train all week. Were you unaware of that? Because I've been plugging
him. I was actually, yeah, I didn't realise that.
Yeah, so I plugged him in my video I did on Monday and I plugged him again in Black Box. He is going to be my transfer this week. I am going to do cash to 8 Norrie because I think that I've looked at when I will need him. And I think I can get away with not turning to him in a week where he might get a book. So if he gets a book in this week, I get the Fulham game.
That's perfect, isn't it?
And he would miss the next game and I don't need him for next game. It would be a pain if he got booked in game week 14 and missed Burnley at home.
Arsenal away? No, surely not.
Well, he might do. He might work. Yeah. You've got to think, in his position, playing further forward, he shouldn't get booked, really. He should be able to avoid a booking, but I don't know. I mean, so there is a chance he misses 15 either for a booking or because Bueno comes in at left wing back to replace him as a rest ahead of the winnable game against Forest. So I think the upside's worth it, though. I really do, because I just don't want to miss
more
the chance.
More so than Toffolo, then?
I think so. I think so. He's got more upside than Toffolo. Like he's having more touches in the box. He's getting into the box. He's having chances.
Yeah.
I think if we go back to the data of the last six, 8 Norrie, 1.33 shots per 90, 1.33 chances created per 90. Whereas you go down to Toffolo, it's 0.46 and 1.6. So they're pretty similar in terms of chances created, but 8 Norrie's getting shots and he's getting into the box. And that's,
I mean,
that's,
Cash is an eighth there though. Is it just a case of freeing up funds? Because, is Cash a must sell? I mean, the fixtures, he's got Spurs away, Bournemouth away, and then Man City and Arsenal at home, which obviously isn't very nice. But then some okay fixtures after that. Is he a must sell? I think he's someone you could hold, but there's maybe some upside elsewhere.
If I want Mbeumo, I've got to sell him. So order to go Diaby to Mbeumo next week, which I think is the, you said it on Twitter, I think, tonight, and after game week 14, everyone's going to own Mbeumo.
Yeah.
It's the Luton at home game. And then, he could actually be a hold for the fixtures to come. Obviously, he's got the blank in 18, so you have to think about navigating that. But he's got good fixtures around that blank. So if you end up getting Mbeumo and you end up holding him, it's not a disaster. I don't know if I'll hold him. I don't know if I'll bring him in for Luton, then look around for other options. But I think I want to get him. So selling Cash and going 8 Norrie means I've got the cash to go get got the money to go and get Mbeumo in 14. So that's my incentive to do it. I agree with you. I don't think Cash is a must sell necessarily, but I think you look at those fixtures that Villa got, City and Arsenal in particular, 15-16, you don't see a clean sheet there. I don't see a clean sheet at Bournemouth either. Because the way that they seem to have picked up and they're finding confidence. So I think for that reason, because he enables Mbeumo for me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sell him. But it's not a disaster if you have to hold him through this, is it?
No, I don't think it is. And also the upside's there with, you know, just how far forward he plays as well. It's not like owning Pau Torres and you're thinking, how many clean sheets am I getting? Because obviously Cash can get attacking returns. He hasn't done very well recently, but that doesn't mean he's not going to do very well moving forward. So if you've got, I still think I would prioritise getting those attacking players if you don't already have them. And obviously Mark's doing the move because he really wants Mbeumo in 14, as he should. So obviously I get it if you're doing that. I just think it's something where if you've got other moves, holding Cash is still absolutely fine as well.
No, I totally agree. Michael Booker's asking of my Forest knowledge again, is Aina not an option? He is an option. And he's probably safer in terms of the security of start, because I think that the rotation will be Urio in at right back and Aina to left back should we rotate in 15. So if you want security of start, yes, Aina's good. But if you want a little bit more upside, Toffolo is the one.
What happened to your mate Murillo? Is he still injured at the moment?
He's got an injury. Cooper's saying that Cooper's very vague of his team news. He's not particularly enlightening, is he? I think Murillo will be fine. I think he'll start. I hope so, because he's an option, but I think Toffolo will undoubtedly create chances over this run. He will have five or six chances created, I think, over the next couple of games, and that's strong, right? At home, we're going to be, because I think he'll be on set plays as well, I think. So it's very close. It's absolutely very close. I mean, right.
We've been talking about all of this, by the way. Maguire's the way to go, so we'll just finish it there.
Absolutely. Should we check in on forwards? Because I need to talk about Chris Wood because of the question that Praz asked me, and I did promise him I'd look at it. That's forwards over the season, 0.79 XGI non-penalty per 90. He's seventh overall. He's only had two starts, but he scored three goals. He got one off the bench against Sheffield United, of course. What I saw in the games I have seen Wood, and I have seen him live, is that we are playing to his strengths more and he is fitter than he was last season. So forget what you saw last season. He was slow, he was ponderous, and Forrest didn't really know how to get anything of him. But what I saw against Luton and Sheffield United was suddenly, when he was on the pitch, we were getting crosses in, and early crosses. We weren't getting to the byline. We were crossing from deeper positions. Toffolo's very good at that. I think Aina, I've yet to see it. Urie actually got the assist against Sheffield United for Wood. So I think we will be getting him supply. Now, it's whether or not he can convert that against Brighton defence, against Everton defence. And Everton's defence is good in the air, but not bad. So Praz, who's in the chat, I would say Wood is a very good option. I think that there's some rotation, potentially, if Morgan Gibbs-White goes down the middle. That will really depend on whether Hudson-Odoi is fit for me. I don't think we would play Morgan Gibbs-White in a false nine unless we had Hudson-Odoi one side and Langer the other. If you remember England under 21s, they played Gordon one side, Palmer the other, and Morgan Gibbs-White in a withdrawn false nine position, getting forward down the middle when he could, but dropping back, and then Palmer and Gordon kind of filled the space. I think Cooper could do something similar with Hudson-Odoi and Langer, but we don't have Hudson-Odoi fit. Would he do it with Danilo one side and Langer the other? I don't think so. So I think, although that's a threat to Wood's start, I think Wood will get at least the next three games, maybe more. And if that's the case, I think if you're going to play a third striker, he's a good bet. But as you said, are we going to play a third striker?
I don't know why. I just had this image of you were getting so into talking about Forrest there.
Yeah.
And I just had this image of you in bed and someone goes, oh, Awuniyi's injured. And you just kind of prop up like, hello, yeah, we can talk about Forrest. That's the biggest thing, is if you're getting Wood,
God, Jesus.
If you transfer Wood into your team,
yes,
is who are you going to be playing him instead of in the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Well, you know, in the nice fixtures you've got. So for instance, when they're playing Everton at home, when they're playing Bournemouth at home, because I think you'd need to look forwards and think, right, this is what I'm going to be doing in that week. And if I do play Wood, who am I not going to be playing instead? Because genuinely, there's barely any weeks with my five midfielders where I'm going to be thinking, I'm going to bench one of my penalty-taking midfielders in this fixture to play Chris Wood. Because Chris Wood wouldn't be on penalties either, would he? Because I'm assuming Gibbs White would still be on them.
It's interesting because as MB says, yeah, he's class at penalties. He takes them for his national side, of course, New Zealand. Morgan Gibbs White is the penalty taker, but he's not that convincing. It's not out of the question that Wood could go to pens as well. But it's not guaranteed. There's a chance. I'd say there's probably a 30 to 40% chance Wood takes pens.
Right.
So it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It just genuinely is that. Like, I haven't obviously brought my team up and thought, right, so-and-so has got a bad fixture. Like, we've seen Palmer, for instance. Would you bench Palmer for Wood? So if I'm looking at the fixtures
Palmer
there.
In any game.
So Forrest has got Everton at home in 14. Chelsea, where's Chelsea there? Look, Chelsea got Brighton at home, Albion at home. That's what you need to do is look at those things and think, am I going to bench any of those players? And if I'm looking at having Son and Bumo, Palmer, Saka and Salah, I just don't see me benching one of them for Wood. And that's the thing. But I guess, you know, you're getting him in maybe thinking there could be injuries down the line. I don't know. I think I'd just rather have, if I didn't have him already, moving down to Archer and freeing up money elsewhere. But yeah, I know Praz has mentioned a few times about game week 18.
Game week 18, yeah. I mean, like,
and it's the blank, isn't it? So if you've got Mbeumo.
Yeah. And there is, yeah. I think that there is a chance by then that we try the Morgan Gibbs White experiment because Hudson-Odoi could be fit. But I think that's an outside bet. I would say there's 80% chance Woody's still in the team come game week 18 and he's going to be a good bet at home to Bournemouth. So, I think he's a good option there. I really do. Because who has Sheffield United got that week? Okay, so they play Villa away. So Villa, if you're trading Archer up, it's definitely a good option. You don't have to do it now, do you? I mean, that's the thing.
And I guess the other thing is, you know, we won't have Haaland that week either. So Praz will be going into battle with Wood up top.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously, what will we have? Watkins, who's got Sheffield United. So that's obviously not too bad. But
so there you go, Praz. I've answered your DM via the stream. Yeah. I will do that. DM me a question and we'll come on air and do a show. No, I'm only joking.
Yeah.
but that's good. Right, well, should we take some more questions? Let's see what we've got in there. Who else haven't we talked about? We've talked about Mbeumo, we've talked about Palmer a bit, we've tackled the Bowen situation. Solanke.
Did Eze.
Solanke, yeah. Where do you stand on him? Because look at the ticker here, they're top, game week 13 to 20, as was very against Solanke, like almost partisan, you know, really strange. People were raising it in the chat going, what's wrong with you, right? Look at the fixtures. I think you're going to be more of a fan, but talk to me.
I've always liked Solanke, and people know if they've watched me on stream, I've watched Bournemouth play more than any other team in the Premier League.
An unhealthy amount, yes.
Yeah, I have. And I was talking to my mate the other day who's, you know, Bournemouth season ticket holder. He's been that since he was little. And he says, Solanke's obviously one of the best players he's seen play for them in the Premier League. And it's starting to look like the team is adapting to the tactics more, if that makes sense. Like it's taken a long time. But it's starting to look like that. And he was quite annoyed that everybody just said, Newcastle were tired, that's why they lost to Bournemouth kind of thing. He said, actually, Bournemouth were really impressive with how they played against Newcastle. And it's almost like maybe this could be a little bit of a turning point for them. I think Solanke's been one of those kind of undervalued players in FPL for quite a while. I know FPL Harry, I think he was in the chat earlier, I remember him having Solanke when he didn't have Kane and Solanke got a goal and assist against Spurs. And he's one of those players, because he's on penalties as well, it helps. They don't get penalties. It's the only thing I will say. I think it's been 2 years since Bournemouth have got a penalty. That doesn't mean they won't get one next week. I don't hate the Solanke move. And I was eyeing up Watkins to Solanke this week, even before the international break, I was thinking, right, that's going to be my move. I'm going to do Watkins to Solanke because I just like the fixtures. They got Sheffield United away, Villa at home, which Villa away aren't too great. Then Crystal Palace away, I didn't mind it. And then Luton at home in game week 17, which is a really nice fixture in game week 17. So I don't hate the Solanke move. It's just whether you're willing to lose Watkins for Solanke. Yeah. That was my biggest dilemma is, can I do that? Because Watkins, I feel like Villa, especially when they're playing at home, are pretty good. They got Spurs away next, which we've seen Spurs are just going to continue playing that high line in their defensive line isn't going to be that good. And then obviously they got Bournemouth away. So I found it hard. It was whether I could have him as a third striker, but I didn't think I could do that either. So I don't hate the Solanke move. I'm just not sure about moving from Watkins to him personally.
Yeah, that's where I am as well. I think for me, this would be a week to get him if you can go for him as a third striker, because obviously the Sheffield United away fixture is a good one, and they've got a great run to come after that. But like you, I don't want to lose Watkins for Spurs away because of the high line situation and, mm-hmm. and Spurs' defensive injuries. That's why I'm holding Diaby. Bournemouth away possibly could sell him for that. And then City and Arsenal, when I get there, that's when I'll look at it. Now, maybe that's too late because Solanke has missed the Sheffield United game and Villa at home, but I don't think it is. I think that Luton, Forest, Fulham trio, 17, 18, 19, is stronger than Watkins, Brentford, Sheffield United and Manchester United. It is close. It is close. There's no doubt about it because you're losing Watkins for game week 18, which is mm-hmm. obviously the one that counts. But I don't think having Solanke at Forest is that bad. I mean, I'll be at the game. It'll be nasty wanting to Solanke to score. That might actually be a factor, but it is tempting, isn't it? Do you think if you don't get him now, you can get him in 15? Do the swap for Watkins then?
I don't know whether you're going to have the transfers to use. That's the thing. I don't know whether that's where you're going to want to use them. And obviously, if you don't have, say, like Palmer, you're looking already in 16 to get him. And it feels like a lot of people are booking in those transfers early. And whether you've got that transfer to use in 15, I'm not sure. I mean, somebody mentioned in the chat there about do you have Solanke as your third striker or do you have somebody like Palmer as your fifth midfielder? I don't think I would be picking Solanke over any of those five template midfielders that we know people are going to have from 16. People are saying, obviously, Solanke's going to be playing every minute. Yes, I agree, but Son's going to be playing every minute. Saka's going to be playing every minute. So's Mbeumo. So's Palmer, you would expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think that's something you can use for Solanke against the other midfielders. It's just weird this season. I was thinking about it when I was driving earlier, thinking, I don't think we've had a season like this where we've got these nailed midfielders all on penalties. Like Son's never been on penalties because Kane's always been there. And Bumo's never been on penalties because Tony's always been there. And all of a sudden, all these players are nailed and they've got penalties. And it just seems like our midfield's set.
Yeah, you were saying you're going to go Palmer and Eze. That's two more penalty takers. We've got Mbeumo, yeah. We've got Son. It is incredible, isn't it? You can get, I mean, if you look to Gibbs-White, that's a fifth. You could literally get five penalty taking midfielders. And obviously that is optimum for all kinds of reasons. I love using the words optimum in case Az is watching because he hates it. so it is, yeah, you're right. It is incredible. I mean, the thing about Watkins to Solanke is you're moving to a player, yes, who's going to play every minute, who's on penalties, but you're moving away from Watkins, who's also going to play every minute, really. Yeah. He might get taken off for Duran maybe in the closing stages, but mainly he'll start every game, even over Christmas. So it's not like you're trading down from a player who's a rotation risk. You're not. Watkins isn't that player, is he? So that does make it difficult. I think I will have the luxury of going to Watkins then because I've already got Palmer in and I think my team is fairly well set up for 18. But it's about what I can do with the money. What will the trade down from Watkins to Solanke enable me to do elsewhere?
Yeah.
One thing it might enable me to do, and this is what good to say.
Oh, are you going to bring it up?
Reece James.
Yes, I know. I love it. Love it. Yeah, I was going to say we haven't mentioned Reece James yet. Yeah. When you said it enables, I was thinking, here we go.
So come on, what do you think of the Reece James pick? Because obviously the Chelsea fixtures, as we've said, that run of five is fantastic. Reece James back in the team. Is he fit? What level of rotation risk have we got with Reece James?
I mean, everything we're hearing is that this is the fittest he's been. He's looking great. Everything's looking brilliant. And I will say with Reece James, he is a player you have to get in on early because if you get in on him when he's done a few good fixtures, he's that much closer to being injured again. So I do feel like you need to get on Reece James early. I don't think, I cannot guarantee that by 16 when the fixtures turn very, very nice that he's still going to be fit again. So I like the move. He is one of the best FPL assets when he is fit. Like he genuinely is ridiculous when he's fit. But knowing whether he's going to be fit by the time we need him is really tough. But I like the option. I think a lot of people, we spoke about it on Scoutcast 2 or 3 weeks ago and people were like, no, of course we're not going to go for him. But of course, the closer you get to those fixtures, Reece James is going to be becoming quite popular, I would have thought.
Well, the esteemed FBL Raptor is in the chat and asking for some confirmation bias from us to help him steer his transfer. For me, I'm all about the upside, right, this season. And one thing that I've promised myself is not to ignore it, right? Isn't that, I don't think that, I think there's a lot of bad feelings in FBL, you know, like benching the wrong player, making a transfer out for, transferring in a player who does better, does worse than the player you transferred out. I think one of the worst feelings I get playing FBL is when I look at a player all week who's got upside and then I go, no, I'll play safe and I get this player. Yeah. And then either that week or the week after, the upside comes in and delivers and you think, oh my God, I saw it. I saw the opportunity and I was this close to taking it and I convinced myself not to. I think that's one of the worst feelings in FBL for me.
See, so I could not disagree with you more.
Really? Okay, go on.
The worst feeling in FPL is when you accidentally play your bench boost and yeah, only figure it out.
Come on, I mean, like, we've got to keep it in the realms of feasibility here.
Oh, that's true. That's No one would do that.
No, of course. I mean, that must be, I mean, I can't imagine what that must be like. I mean, tell me you know someone who's done that.
But
it frustrates me because the Tsimikas thing was a little bit of that because I had him already and I didn't play him and it was like, oh, Tsimikas could get some assists in that game. Can he outscore Trent over this period? I was convincing myself he could and he has, but I didn't bloody play him.
Yeah.
If I was in Raptor's position now and you can go to Reece James, it's a bit of a vanity transfer to be fair. If he can get Reece James in, his team must be in a good state.
Yeah, fair play.
Because there's a lot of flags about. I think I would do it. I think I would.
I don't think I would this week. I think I would next week because Newcastle away doesn't strike me as the fixture to attack this week. But next week, Brighton at home, I think it's quite nice. And even Man United away, I think it's absolutely fine. Yeah. I think I'd still wait a week. I think I would personally. Like you said, it feels like if he's got two free transfers and everything else in his team is just set up perfectly.
I'm going to go and look at his team.
Yeah, I kind of get it. Yeah. Well, it might be that he's already got, you know, Palmer, he's already got Mbeumo. Like he's all set for next week. And he could have two. If he's got one free transfer, I'd roll. But if he's got two, then.
This is a point. Focal saying Raptors team is missing that Norwegian fella. Forgot his name now. Okay. Yeah.
That's what it is.
The Norwegian Wood, Haaland himself.
That's why he can afford Reece James. See, he doesn't have to get in.
He's wanting to spread the money that he saved. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. No,
I think you're absolutely right. I think I don't know why he's driven to get him for the Newcastle away game, but certainly for Brighton at home, it's really, really tempting, isn't it? Now I could do that if I sold Watkins, and that for me is a very tempting. I think you know, like I'm in. I've got a good rank. I've had quite a bit of luck this season. I don't know if you spotted that, Andy. And now I've got to decide whether to keep it kind of solid and safe and like use the algorithms to kind of guide what I'm doing, tweak them a little bit and just stay within the realms of what's that, or when I see an opportunity just go bang, I'm going to go for it. And my inkling is to do that, is to play the upside, but I'm probably going to get that very wrong. But so far this season, I've been lucky and they've came in for me. So I think I might do it. Watkins to Solanke ahead of 15 and then bring in James for that run. I think that's what I will do.
I do like it. I like it because it's different. I think Reece James, like I said, you get on Reece James early and you get him while he's fit and playing and he's going to get you points, I think. But, you know, we have all owned Reece James when he's got us 1 point for over and over and over again and then gets injured. So there's definitely upside there with him. But it's going to be interesting to see how you go, especially with Solanke as well. You know, Watkins is, I know Az is going to hate me for this, but Watkins is so highly owned as well. I mean, he's terrified of him. So it's going to be interesting to see how you go with Solanke. But I do like the Solanke pick. I always like Solanke. So we'll see how that one goes.
Okay, right. So let's have a look at our team, shall we, before we round off for the evening. I'm going to bring your team up first of all. So talk us through this for the podcast, if you can, Andy.
Yep. So I got two free transfers. So I've got Areola in goal, Maguire, Mitchell and Cash. And it looks, Cash is flagged on here, but it looks like he's going to be fine. Saka, Gordon, Bowen. Bowen is flagged. I think he will be fine to play, but it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. If he doesn't play, I don't think he'll come on at all. So I'll have Archer coming in. Son and Salah. Then I've got Watkins and Haaland captain, Archer first on the bench, then Tsimikas and Taylor. I think I might actually swap Taylor with Tsimikas because I don't expect anything from Tsimikas in this game. And then Turner as well, who's obviously a non-event at the moment. Irish Shady, why are you bench boosting? Could you imagine? So I've got two free transfers, 0.4 million in the bank. If Bowen was out, I was going to do Bowen to Eze. because then I was going to do Gordon to Mbeumo next week. But I think I'm going to keep Bowen this week because I think he plays or doesn't plays. And that's good English. So I think I'm going to do Gordon to Eze because next week I want two free transfers to get Mbeumo and Saliba. But if I'm priced out of Saliba, I'll get Gabriel or Zinchenko. So yeah, it feels okay for the next 2 weeks, I think.
I like it. I like the plan. I like the Gordon to Eze move. And I like your team. I guess the only the big question is the captaincy for me. Talk to me about what's behind that. What is your thinking? You just see a game of goals, do you?
Yeah, I think I do. And you look even at the last fixture. You know, Salah scored first, but then City put four past them. I see there being goals in this game. I see City getting goals in this game as well. I don't see it being a stalemate. I don't feel like these two teams have it in them to do that in this fixture. I was tempted by Son, I will admit that. But I also just think this is going to be a weird week. I think this is going to be a tough week. After international breaks, it's tough. There are so many teams playing away and there's tough fixtures. So I'm just going to go with that, you know, big Norwegian meat shield and hope the rest of the team do something just by owning them. I've had a little bit of criticism moving Gordon out because everybody's saying, no, Gordon's fine moving forward. I don't like Newcastle's fixtures moving forward. I don't like how many fixtures they're playing moving forward. Mm. They're playing every 3 to 4 games. They've got PSG, AC Milan and Chelsea, you know, in between fixtures as well. That's literally what I'm looking at right now. Lego Mane's a legend. Mm. I love that fixture ticker. I don't like it moving forward. And I'm just looking at it thinking, I don't see an awful lot of goals in their next 3 to 4 weeks. Chelsea at home, then they've got PSG, then Man United at home and then Everton away. I just don't see them scoring a lot of goals. So I feel quite happy moving from Gordon to Eze and then Eze to Palmer in 16.
Yeah,
so
you're absolutely right. And also Barnes could be a factor as well. We don't know when he's actually going to be back on grass and fit. We know he's made good progress. Mm. That run, I mean, look at that. I mean, that is a testing run for Newcastle. Yeah. If they were already out of Europe, I would be like, okay, well, maybe they're not going to go full tilt at PSG and Milan, but they are. They're going to go for those. They're going to try right to the end. Yeah. And they are going to be draining experiences for them around some very tough games. You look at that Fulham fixture in game week 17 and you think, well, that's a great fixture to have Gordon, but will he be in the side then? And if he is, you know, what state will they be after the Milan game and before going to Chelsea in the quarterfinal of the Carabao? So really, really tough as well. I will probably hold Trippier through that run because I think he's a different level. I think he is the one Newcastle asset you could probably afford to hold through Christmas. But mm-hmm. otherwise, if, you know, people are talking about Isak. I just don't think so. I think they're going to be very leggy come that Christmas rush.
Big time.
I think that's very sound. I like your team. I like your transfers, Andy. Someone said actually people need to challenge me more, so try and challenge me on my team if you can, best you can.
Oh, okay.
Az got criticised for not challenging me in the comments the other day. Oh, by the way, 1100 watching, please hit the like. And yes, if you've not been here before, hit the subscribe and there's more of this to come. Okay, so my team for the podcast: Areola, Lascelles, Trippier, Gabriel, Saka, Diaby, Son, Salah, Palmer, Haaland and Watkins. Cash on the bench, Tsimikas and Mbeumo. I've got two free transfers. I'm only going to use one, I think, and it will be cash to 8 Nouri. Lascelles will drop to the bench and I'll play 8 Nouri, Trippier and Gabriel. The captaincy is on Son at the moment. So far away, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm assuming it's Diaby you're going to lose next week for Mbeumo.
Yeah, it will be, yeah. So I'll have exact money to do it and I'll probably have to do it early because Mbeumo might go up again, of course. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's that has to be it. And then I'm zero in the bank, basically.
I mean, talk us through you captaining Son over Haaland. So I'm assuming, is that because you don't expect Haaland to do as much or you think Son against that high line is going to be quite nice?
Yeah, I think like Liverpool City, I do think Spurs Villa will have goals in it as well. The high line, nobody really knows what that's going to give us. It could give us like a 4-all or a 2-2 or, you know, I think I can't see it being 1-0 or 0-0 or 1-all. I think it's going to be three plus goals. I'm more certain of goals in that game than I am City-Liverpool, to be honest. Because international break, 12:30 kickoff, both those teams have had a lot of players away. Are they going to go full tilt or are they going to go, let's play out a 0-0 draw and it'll end up being 1-0? I don't think it'll be 0-0, but I think it could easily be quite a polite draw. They'll both take it. They'll both have a lot of tired players. They'll both have a little bit of rest in their teams as well. not rest of key players, but some players will be rested, I think, like a Kanji and stuff. So City won't have their full squad available, I don't think. Liverpool will be monitoring players who have come back from international break, and there might be, Gomez might play over Tsimikas or whatever. We don't know. I just think, I just don't trust the early kickoff after the international break. Whereas the Sunday game, Villa Spurs, injuries on the Spurs defence, Spurs will have to score one or two goals, I think, to win the game. Certainly two goals, I think, because I think Villa will get a goal. So I think if Spurs score two goals or more, Son gets something. So I just think he's got that little bit more certainty. Extra point as well for midfielders, of course. Don't think there'll be a clean sheet in it. So that's all it is, really, for me.
And is there a little something in this Haaland injury as well? Obviously, maybe they're going to protect him a little bit. Or, I mean, Liverpool, it's the biggest fixture of the season, isn't it?
It'll start, no question. No question for me. I don't know if there's much in it. I mean, I guess the only thing there is if they get like three goals ahead, they might take him off, but I just don't see them getting three goals ahead. I think it'll be a tighter game than we imagine. I have predicted 2-2, but I'm kind of, longer it's gone on, I've kind of predicted, I think it could be more like a 1-1.
Yeah, I predicted Desmond too.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, if there's an early goal, that's the way it'll go. But if it's, 0-0 at half time, then 1-1 looks the more likely outcome, obviously. So it depends if that early goal comes to really kind of open the game up. But I think it'll be edgy to begin with. And it's just the international break. You just don't know what you get, do you? We always get some strange outcomes, don't we?
Big time. Yeah, international break. And it's always low scoring as well. It always seems to be low scoring. And everybody's like, God, this is horrendous. And then the week after, it's always massive. But it's also the away fixtures this week as well. Because last week, we had so many lovely home fixtures. And this week, obviously, it's a lot of our players playing away. So I think it's going to be quite a tough week, but captaincy could come down to it. It's tempting. It is tempting me going with Son. And I've thought about it all week. He's the one that's kind of tempted me. I've not been tempted by Salah at all. It's been kind of Haaland or Son. Son could be an interesting one to go with. I hate going into a week with Haaland when, obviously if he scores and you own him, he's going to destroy your rank still. But it's I'll have a think about it. And tomorrow morning I might see if I fancy changing it. Usually I put it on him and see if I like it or not. And if I don't, then I'll just put it straight back on Haaland. Yeah, exactly.
A couple of questions. SEO saying, why not Gyökeres instead of Ait Nouri or even Mitchell maybe? I can't afford a 4-6 defender and get Mbeumo next week. So I've been priced out of that.
Thank you for mentioning Mitchell. Yeah, he's done well recently. Yeah,
that's all right. And then a player we haven't mentioned, Tariq A, you mentioned this. Tariq, a member, thank you very much for your support. Thoughts on Sterling, really tempted. A player I got him on early. He got me two big returns against Luton and Burnley. That run of fixtures, would you double up on Palmer and Sterling for that run that they got coming?
No, just because I can't use up another slot on Sterling, basically. So I cannot see me moving away from Saka and Mbeumo, Son, Salah, Palmer for the foreseeable. If you wanted to go to Sterling for a couple of weeks before moving to Palmer, then I kind of get that, but I think that's maybe a bit sideways. But Palmer's on penalties, playing really, really well. I think he's the pick out of the two of them. Sterling is playing very well, though. Like, I've genuinely been quite impressed, and I'm shocked, obviously, he's not kind of got that call up for England as well. But I do think Sterling's a good pick. It's if you play other formats, I suppose, isn't it? Like, if you play like draft or something like that, obviously, he's a good player to own. But I don't see him getting into my midfield at all.
No, absolutely. That's fair enough. I think we covered a lot of topics there, Andy. We did just over the hour. Absolutely, Andy. Hit the video. Give the video a like. Hit subscribe, as Andy would say there. Hit the buttons if you've enjoyed the video. I will probably do a Black Box recordings over the weekend. It's the Black Box Derby tomorrow, Andy. I'm going Forest Brighton.
Nice.
So I'll do a little vlog there. I'll take the camera along and record my thoughts as we go. And try and get something out for Monday or Tuesday on that. Then Black Box will be back on Wednesday. And then Andy, I think we've got a Friday next week. I don't think it's a Saturday kickoff again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the internet hasn't gone down. We survived. We've got 1,100
watching. We've done all right.
No technical issues apart from a bit on the audio. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us. And Andy, as always, it's been a pleasure to chat to you on Friday night for some laid back FBL chat. Not many wood jokes, just a few.
Just a few. Gonna go upstairs and get some wood now.
All right. Good night from me.
And me.
Social Podcast Network.